I just want to say a few words this evening, really, building on what I was speaking about on Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, we thought about how prayer is based upon being in a relationship. Jesus tells us to begin our prayers, as we can see on the screen, with the word Father or Our Father. And those are words of relationship. As Christians, we're sons and daughters of God, and He just loves it when we spend time in His presence, talking to Him and listening to Him. And it doesn't matter if our prayers are stuttering or if we pray in silence. God just wants us to pray. And if we find prayer difficult, we're promised that the Holy Spirit, in Romans 8, will come alongside us and help us to pray. So I hope those two things help us, encourage us to pray more. Prayer is simply talking to our Father, and we have the Holy Spirit to help us. But we also thought on Sunday about what it means to pray, Thy Kingdom Come. And this is the focus of prayer we're currently in. I think we're in day seven of this 10-day period of prayer that started last week on Ascension Day and goes through till Saturday, and then we conclude with Pentecost. This period of prayer is praying Thy Kingdom Come. What does it mean to pray Thy Kingdom Come? Well, we said on Sunday that obviously it includes things like praying for world justice, fairness, for God to bless where we live, for God to bring healing to those who are ill in body, mind or spirit. It will include praying for the poor, the marginalised. It will include praying for holiness in our own lives. But it particularly includes praying for more people to come to know Jesus. The kingdom of Jesus grows as more people make Jesus king of their hearts. And on Sunday we saw how Jesus tells us to pray expecting God to hear and answer. Ask and it will be given to you, says Jesus. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. God loves to give good gifts as we pray. And notice the one thing he says we should particularly pray for, right there at the end, the Holy Spirit. More on that in a moment. I said on Sunday I was going to talk a little bit about that horrible, difficult area about unanswered prayer. I'm going to come on to the excitement of answered prayer in a minute. It's a difficult issue, and this book I found very helpful, Bill Hybels' Too Busy Not to Pray. He's got a whole chapter called The Hurt of Unanswered Prayer. And let's face it, how many of us have prayed something only to then be disappointed when it appears that God has not answered? It hurts. We get frustrated. It can damage our faith. It can discourage us from continuing to pray. And we ask, Jesus, you said, ask and it will be given to you. What's going on when God doesn't answer prayer? Well, Bill starts off in... Don't mind if I call him Bill, do you? I've never met him. Bill starts off in chapter 8 explaining how some of our prayer requests, no matter how well-intentioned, are just going to be inappropriate. Now, we're in good company here. You remember those two disciples, James and John? They made an inappropriate request of Jesus. They said, Jesus, could you give us the best two seats in the kingdom? That was not an appropriate request. The answer was no. Sometimes we don't mean to ask for the wrong things, but maybe we do. If we have children and one of our children asks for yet another bag of chocolates, we probably will say no. Does that mean we don't love our children? Does that mean we're being killjoys? No, it means that we love our children and want the best for them. And likewise, we need to trust that Father knows best. He has our best intentions at heart. Here's another inappropriate request. Have you ever prayed this one? Dear God, please change the other person. Bill says, don't get me wrong, it's often perfectly fine to pray that someone will change. After all, that's what we do when we pray for conversions, or hearts to be softened, or addictions to be broken. However, a lot of prayer sounds like this to God. I don't want to face my own shortcomings. I don't want to work on this relationship. I don't want to change at all. God, change the other person. If we pray that, the answer is likely to be no. When we pray also, we should probably ask, whose glory am I seeking? In our prayers, do we seek God's glory or my own glory? For example, a rector might pray, Lord, help my church to grow. That's a good prayer, isn't it? But if the rector's thinking, so I can be a star, look impressive, and get the speaking engagements at Spring Harvest, then the request is wrong. So we should ask questions. Is this prayer request going to bring glory to God? Will it advance his kingdom? Will it help other people? Will it deepen my spiritual walk with God? Those are the things God is interested in. And he won't pamper to us when we look for it, when we try and do self-glory, because that will not help us. Another thing is to remember that God sees the bigger picture and we don't. And Bill tells a story of when his church wanted to fill a key leadership position, and one day the staff, they'd been praying for this for about 6 months, and one day the staff all thought of the same person. They took it to God in prayer and they thought, yeah, let's ask this person. We'll commit it in faith. So Bill was to go and contact him, invite him out for lunch. The lunch date came and he's sitting there at lunch. He's thinking about inviting this person to take up a new leadership position, and he feels God is saying no. It's frustrating, but he doesn't ask him. Goes back to the staff. They're all disappointed. Why has God not answered this prayer? 6 months later, Bill learned that there was deception in that leader's life, and his entire ministry crumbled around him. And Bill says, when I heard this tragic story, I silently prayed, thank you, Jesus, for having enough love and concern for our church to say no. Sometimes God sees a bigger picture. And then sometimes God might say no because, well, he's saying not yet. But of course, we're in the 21st century. We have motorways. We have in the supermarket the fast lane. We have TV on demand. However, when we read the Bible, we see that God works to a longer time frame. And sometimes he will make us wait. Sometimes, well, he might be trying to teach us to be patient or forming our character. Sometimes he even allows us to go periods of suffering so that we grow to be more like Jesus. At the end of the day, there are no easy answers to why we don't always get what we ask in prayer, but we have to trust the Father even when the answer's no, even when the answer's delayed. And we have to be wary of insisting that we know better than God. God will always have a reason for saying no or not yet. Perhaps he's testing our faith, perhaps he's just seeing the bigger picture, but we just need to trust him that he is working for the good of all who love him. But just one final thing we need to ask. Difficult one, this. Are we the problem? Are we blocking our own prayers because there is a problem in our own life? Unconfessed sin? Ongoing behaviour that needs to be dealt with? Some kind of relationship breakdown that we should be seeking to resolve, but that we're ignoring. Those things can block our prayers. Well, we could say more, but I'm going to leave the negative stuff behind. We're heading towards a time of prayer, and I want us to pray with expectant hearts. God does love to hear and answer prayer. We've just heard Jesus say so. So let's pray with expectant hearts. And chapter 3 of this book is entitled God is Able. Bill says, often we have a deep need, but we too quickly give up praying to God about it. And Bill asks this, he challenges us by saying, do you regularly and diligently every day bring that need to God in prayer, trusting God will intervene in your situation? Because often we give up too quickly. And the challenge is, do we believe, really believe, that God wants to help us and that he is able to help? We can easily say in our heads, yes, I do believe, but at some unconscious level, we doubt it. One summer, Bill realised his prayers were weak. He realized his faith was weak, and he decided to go through the Bible just looking at all those impossible things God does. And he found that there was loads of them. For example, Exodus 14 and Joshua 13, God parts waters. The Red Sea, and he does it again with the River Jordan. The feeding of the 5,000, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The stilling of storms, water from the rock, city walls crumbling, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame walking, lepers being healed, the dead being raised. God is more than able, because he's the God who created the universe. Bill reminds us about the time that the Apostle Peter was in prison. Do you remember the Apostle James had already been killed? Now it was Peter's turn. He was waiting execution. And the disciples, they couldn't do anything about it except pray. And that's what they did. They prayed. Meanwhile, in prison, in the middle of the night, the chains broke off Peter's wrists. An angel appeared and said, "Follow me." And Peter just did, and he couldn't believe it. He walked past one guard, he walked past two guards, he walked past all the guards. He got to the gate, the iron gate of the prison, and it swung open. And God can change hearts too. He changed Elijah when he felt like quitting. He turned shy Moses into a leader, and he turned that great persecutor Saul into the greatest Christian evangelist ever. Now the thing is, that is our God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the God we are praying to. This is the God we're about to pray to. And God is able. Jesus says, ask in faith. Ask and it will be given to you. And particularly ask for that prayer of the Holy Spirit. As we come to pray in a few moments, let's pray in expectation that God will hear and will respond. Over the last week, I've been distributing these pieces of red cord. Some of you might not have picked one up yet. There's some at the back on the table. Do go and get one. But let me just explain. The colour red reminds us of the Holy Spirit, those tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost. And each day, just hold this and just pray that the Spirit might touch your life more deeply, that you'll encounter God in a deeper way, and that he'll work in your life. And then tie 5 knots in your cord, if you haven't done so already. I'm actually up to 6. And for each day, run your fingers along. And for each one represents a person who does not yet know Jesus. For each knot, pray that that person comes to know Jesus. If we all prayed for 5 people every day, think what can happen. We're going to praise God again, reminding that ourselves that God is absolutely spectacular, that he conquers death. Then we're going to have some time of prayer, and I'll explain how that will happen. There's nothing scary. You can stay seated exactly where you want, if that's what you want, or there are places to go to pray. But I'll explain that in a minute. Let's praise God again. Everyone needs compassion.